Good morning. It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, December 6th, 2017. We have about a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we've got a small craft advisory for winds in effect through tomorrow morning. That means winds 20 to 34 nautical miles per hour will be happening out there on the water. Elsewhere in the marine weather forecast, we have east winds 15 to 20 knots today, gusting to 30 knots, primarily near gaps in coastal terrain. So could be a little windy on the beach today. Wind waves from the east, 5 feet at 5 seconds apart, and west swells, 6 feet at 14 seconds. So here we have those local conditions blowing from the east and the swells coming in from the west. That sounds like a prescription for confused seas out there where things get a little sloppy when those fundamental forces that act on our waters here are coming from completely opposite directions. And today we're going to talk a little bit about tides, today and tomorrow. I got a listener question yesterday that made me start thinking about that, just how interesting and complex the whole topic of tides is. So today we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 5 inbounders, we have 4 in the Astoria Anchorage, and we have 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Capricornus Leader. She's a car carrier arriving from offshore, headed for Vancouver. She has brand new Subarus on board. She'll pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m. and arrive in Vancouver probably about 7:30 this evening. The Po Yang is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She'll be there at about 2:30 p.m. The Oak Bay is arriving from offshore, headed for Longview's Anchorage, and she will be going to the port of Longview to pick up a cargo of petcoke. She'll pass Astoria around 4:30 p.m. and arrive in Longview maybe around 8 in the evening. The Gisela Oldendorf is arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Vancouver, Washington. She, too, has Subarus on board, car carrier, so look for a very high-sided vessel going by. She will pass Astoria around 8:30 p.m., so it will be dark. She'll arrive in Vancouver about 2:30 a.m. on Thursday, but those car carriers have a pretty quick turnaround time, so probably sometime tomorrow we should see her heading downriver. So if you see a very blocky-looking, high-sided vessel that just maybe doesn't even really look like what you think a ship should look like at all, probably a car carrier on the Columbia. The ATB, the Articulated Tug and Barge rig, the Sound Reliance, is a Crowley Maritime-owned vessel. She's arriving from Ferndale, headed for Portland. She is carrying refined petroleum, probably something like jet fuel or gasoline. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30 p.m. inbound. You might see her in Portland by about 3:30 a.m. on Thursday. In the Astoria Anchorage, the Glorious Hope is headed for Longview to pick up wheat. She'll leave the anchorage off Astoria around 10 a.m. and probably be in Longview by about 1:30 p.m. today. The Sea Wind is heading to Portland from the anchorage to pick up wheat. She'll be leaving around 6 p.m. That would put her in Portland around midnight. The KM London is awaiting orders, as is the Aurelia, off the downtown waterfront in Astoria. In our outbounders, we have the Kenura. She's leaving Kalama carrying corn, soy, or wheat, or some combination thereof, in different cargo holds. Ships have completely separate cargo holds that are loaded individually. So one of the ships sitting out there could have 6 or 7 cargo holds or more on board, depending on the design of the ship. And so, those have individual hatch covers, and they are loaded separately. So sometimes ships that are coming downriver will stop at, they'll go in light, as they often do, and they'll stop at a couple of different ports on the way out, and they'll pick up different cargoes, which they will take to perhaps different places and unload them. So ships have a lot of, those bulk carriers are quite versatile. The Asia Greca is heading out of Longview today with wheat on board. She's leaving around 2:30 p.m., maybe passing Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. The Anita N is leaving Kalama with wheat on board. She's leaving around 6 p.m., maybe passing Astoria outbound then around 11 p.m. And the Eleni is leaving Portland with wheat on board at about 10:30 p.m. And so by about 4:30 a.m. Thursday, if she's able to leave at that time, she could be cruising past Astoria out to sea. So sailors have to be ready to work at all times of the day or night. They work in shifts, in watches, as they call them, but ships are operating 24/7. And that's why, even though they move rather slowly compared to, say, trucks and trains, in terms of their speed over the ground, they make up for it by continuously operating at a relatively slow speed. And so they get places pretty quickly, and they are quite efficient cost-wise as transportation. Well, yesterday I had a question from a listener about tides. One of our volunteers here at the station was asking me about why the tide was so high, how much higher in Willapa Bay than it was here on the Columbia during the King Tide event that we had this week, where the King Tides are the highest tides of the year, and they typically happen in December and again in January. And it has to do with the alignment of the sun and moon pulling on the earth. So I thought I'd start today and talk a little more tomorrow about tides. So here's what's happening when tides are happening. The earth is constantly rotating. Out there in space are the sun and the moon, which at different times are exerting a pull. Certainly the moon has the most profound effect on the earth generally than the sun, but they sometimes act together, and that will create extra high tides. But still, what's happening is that the earth is rotating through that gravitational pull of those celestial bodies, and it actually is strong enough to pull the water up off the surface of the earth into a bulge that is high tide. And then as the earth rotates away from that pole, it goes down to low tide. So there's sort of a sine wave happening of high and low tide as the earth rotates through that gravitational pull of these massive planets and the sun that are out there exerting gravitational pull from so many miles away on the earth. It's really quite a phenomenal thing. So what happens for us standing on land is that here on the Columbia, every 6 hours, the river changes direction. It's such a phenomenal thing. I mean, the river, so many millions, billions of gallons of water racing down the river. The gravitational pull of the moon and the sun are enough to make that river flow backwards. So when you have a flood current, the tide is rising, the river is essentially flowing inland. Its natural tendency is to flow outwards toward the ocean. But when the tide is rising, the river will flow backwards. And if you stand on the waterfront, you can look up the tides in many ways. There are all kinds of apps for that. There's saltwatertides.com on the internet. There are little tide booklets you can buy in many stores around here, England Marine for one, that will tell you when in any given place the tide in our area, the tide, what's going to be happening then. And you can go down to the water and see what's happening during an ebb, about halfway through the ebb. So there's a high tide. It reaches high tide, and then it's sort of like a pendulum swing. The high tide occurs, the earth rotates out of that tremendous pull from the moon and the sun, and the tide starts to ebb or fall, as we call it, because the water level falls. So out here on the waterfront, during that ebb current, about halfway through that 6-hour tidal cycle, the river reaches a pretty fast pitch, 7 knots in some places, which is a lot. So you can see the water just racing past Astoria on those ebbs, and you can also see it flowing inland during those high tides. So generally we have here on the Columbia what we call diurnal tides. Some places in the world only have 2 tides a day. We tend to have 4, meaning 2 high tides and 2 low tides. There's of each set of high and low tides, one tends to be higher than the other. So let's look today at the Columbia River entrance out at Cape Disappointment, the North Jetty. High tide will be at about 2 p.m., and low tide will be at about 9 o'clock at night. There'll be a tidal swing between the high and the low of about 10 feet. So if you look at the Port of Astoria docks, the tide actually happens later because the high tide moves up the river. So it starts at Cape Disappointment, and it moves up river. So by, say, 2:38, almost 2:45, 45 minutes later, it'll be high tide here in Astoria. If you go up to Napa, about an hour later, it'll be high tide there. So some ships that are coming in that need the extra depth will actually, the expression sort of is to surf the high tide, to ride that high tide all the way up to Portland as it moves up the river. So tides are pretty complicated. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.